Meow.
What the hell?
Cats.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Mark Jackson. He, of course, the new athletic director at Northwestern. Mark, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Molly. Good to meet you.
Absolutely.
Fired up to be with you this morning.
Big fan of the Cats. Really love the programs there. Love the school. My wife got a degree there. David got a degree there. I think that many people in the Chicagoland area understand the importance of Northwestern's, how much fun it is to kind of follow all the programs, sports programs there, and just the accessibility. I'm curious, you know, I'm also a college basketball fan, and I've got a buddy who went to Villanova, and we watched all the success of Villanova. And I was surprised to read that when you were recruited, and you were recruited to come here, it was you weren't looking for a job. You didn't know that you would be willing to leave Villanova, but you were kind of overwhelmed by your first ever visit to Evanston.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. There, you know, Villanova is a wonderful place. Wonderful people will hold a place in me and my family's heart forever, just because of the people. And then on top of that, you have a lot of parallels, to be honest, with Northwestern. You know, in terms of a high academic profile, you know, it's a private school. They got a great mission. You know, world class coaches, facilities, all that stuff. But, you know, I just felt like after 9 years, started my 10th year at Villanova, I was ready for a new challenge. Like you said, I wasn't looking, but anytime you make a big decision, you want to know about the facts, and the facts in Northwestern is it's world-class across the board. And at this pivotal time in college athletics to be associated with a brand like that, it made more and more sense to me and my entire family to make the move.
Mark, as Molly said, I got a degree from Northwestern. My son has a degree from Northwestern. I love and respect the place. And I also look at it objectively like this. You're coming into a situation that's got to be immensely challenging for any administrator or executive because of what's happened over the last 14 months or so. Northwestern is in recovery mode. They're also in building mode with a building project. So I guess, why this challenge now? You would have had options. I'm sure you had, you know, other opportunities. USC, I think, offered you the job a couple times and you turned it down. What was it about Northwestern at this point in time that was appealing to you?
Yeah, like any leader, you know, Dave, you look at this, you know, not as like gloom and doom or a dark cloud, which a lot of people in our industry, quite frankly, across the board for what's impending on the horizon. But I look at it as like a challenge or an opportunity. And where do you want to do that? And who do you want to do it with? And I think the more that I came down to it, that there is balance there, that, you know, in terms of what our objectives are. And for me, you know, I'm not looking to go to a big factory where, you know, winning is the end all be all of everything. And winning is important and we're going to win. But the balance of, you know, high academics, the way we graduate our student athletes, what our student athletes go on and do afterwards for the rest of their lives. Like for me, there's alignment there. And, you know, I'm probably not a fit at a lot of other places, but the more that I got to know the leadership at Northwestern and where they want to go and what they want to do, and they have the capacity to do it, there's no question. And to do it in a world-class city that is so passionate about sports, a lot of it lines up as, this, you know, not like as a challenge, but as this great opportunity. You know, I haven't even mentioned like the Ryan family and Ryan Field and folks like that, that have done unbelievable things across the world, like to partner with them and to do those kinds of exciting things. It just made more and more sense the more I got to know it.
Well, anybody who has been to the campus and who has seen like the new football facility, who has seen all the work that's been done, it's world-class stuff, right? I was lucky enough to just be there recently. And I got to tell you, the buildings themselves, the way everything about it is really top shelf. And now The stadium is being rebuilt, and we know that it's kind of an intimate situation in the back of the I don't know if it's the lacrosse stadium or the soccer stadium. Yeah. I've seen a lot of different sports played there. It is almost as if the facilities would engender success, whether or not, you know, you have everything else in place, right? I mean, it's going to be pretty spectacular when that building is finished.
Be a game changer. It's a whole athletics, but Molly, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, my wife, our youngest is 17. Our other three are in college.
Oh, hold on 1 second, Mark. I'm sorry.
Hold we've got to
clean up that phone line because I want to hear this story.
Yeah, I do too. And looking at the stadium project, they're a couple years away yet. What's fascinating is that they're playing in the temporary makeshift stadium with the best view of any college football venue I think you could imagine.
You know, I'll tell you something. Not only is it one of the best views of college football and you get to see the sailboats on the lake, you look back at the city, Chicago
That's
is standing there
you can see it
proudly.
In the backdrop.
It's as if it's...
You get a sense that it is Chicago's Big Ten team.
Yes, it is.
When you have a view of the Chicago skyline and you can watch third down on one, and then between downs you can say, oh yeah, there's the skyline. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is great stuff. We've got Mark Jackson back. I'm sorry, Mark, we cut out a little bit there. You were just beginning to tell us a story about your kids.
Yeah, and we have four great kids that are all in alignment about Northwestern. But, you know, our junior in high school, who's 17, you know, is pretty adamant about finishing his high school years here. And we're going to, you know, figure it out at the end of his junior year where we're at. But, you know, they came into campus on a Friday night. The sun was setting over the lake. We're in Ryan Fieldhouse, and I'm watching his face and all my kids. You know, the jaws just dropped for this idyllic setting. And I think by the end of, you know, dinner, you know, he had a much more open mind about, you know, coming out and being part of it just for the facilities alone. But we know, you know, the bells and whistles are there, but what really makes Northwestern great, again, are the people and the mission. But what we do have world-class amenities for sure.
The people, some of them we know well. Kelly Monte-Hiller is a legend in women's lacrosse. Chris Collins, longtime friend of the program, has been here and seems to have the basketball program headed in the right direction. And then there's David Braun, the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year, who took over an impossible task and really succeeded, and obviously off to a pretty good start, would have liked to have won the double overtime game against Duke, but has a challenge and back home this weekend against Eastern Illinois. Of those three, obviously, I'm sure other people have made impressions. What has been your biggest takeaway of meeting the people at Northwestern and some of the coaches that are be working for you?
Yeah, collectively, an unbelievably warm and receptive welcome. From all the head coaches and all the staff, but you know, you always do your homework on what you're going into, and I think again, it's one of our greatest strengths is our whole corral of head coaches, and you know, whether it's, you know, Kelly or Dave or Chris or Tracy Fuchs and who's got the number one field hockey team in the country right now. You look at what softball has done. You look at what tennis, golf. I mean, Pat Goss too. You know, kind of a legendary golfer. He's been instrumental in helping me understand kind of where we're at and where we need to go. He's an unbelievable Northwestern Wildcat. And so I'm excited to get to work with all of them. To Mully's previous point, or maybe it was yours, Dave, just the challenges that are ahead, each program is going to have different nuances in this new world of revenue sharing and transfer portal and everything. So the relationship you have with your head coaches across the board is just pivotal. And I look at those as real partnerships where I want to take the distractions away from them as much as I can, you know, and let them do what they do best, which is coach and recruit and win. So that's my objective as I approach the relationships there.
So we think of Villanova and the success there. We think of Jay Wright. We think of the national championships in basketball. And I used to love hearing him talk about basketball because he would tell people things like, whatever you do, remember kind of who you are. Remember why you became successful, how you went about. He wasn't looking for just the best players in the country. He was looking for guys that fit the way he wanted to play and the way. And I think the most successful coaches, and Chris Collins does this as well, although maybe you can hook him up with Jay's Taylor, because that's a pretty special relationship. But
I don't know if Chris can afford him. I'm not sure.
but it's the kind of thing where, you know, having your identity and knowing who you are is just the biggest part of doing any job sufficiently, let alone well.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think it's just a huge tenet of leadership, right? Is being authentic, knowing who you are. And, you know, for all of us, sometimes it takes time to figure that out. But when I think about the coaches that I've got to work with, whether, you know, going back to the Patriots with Pete and at USC with Peter Belichick, Jay, they all know who they are and what they're about. And that transcends to Kelly. Like, I've known Kelly most of my career here at Northwestern, and she knows her program top to bottom, and it's reflective of who she is. So, yeah, to get to, you know, be around Jay, and he will be around Northwestern. He's such a good teacher, and it translates to TV too, right? The more you talk to people, the more that he gets comfortable. You learn something every time you listen to him. He doesn't have an agenda. He's teaching, and he taught me a lot, you know, about Villanova, obviously, but about leadership and people, and in a lot of ways, a huge mentor in my life. So fortunate to get to work with him.
You mentioned Bill Belichick. He's quoted in the release when they hired you. So is Pete Carroll from the Seahawks and certainly USC. What's your relationship like with both of those guys whose names do jump off the page in any press release?
Yeah, I mean, Pete by far is my biggest mentor in my life. I lost my dad at a young age, right when I was with the Patriots. And for whatever reason, despite being 20 years in difference in age, he filled a huge void in my life, and to this day still does. And so I lean on him for everything. I give Bill a lot of credit, you know, because when Pete got let go with New England, I stayed on another year with Bill, and you always hit those crossroads. And Bill taught me, quite frankly, that, you know, I wasn't cut out to be a coach, because I thought that I was on that path. And I saw the amount of time, effort, energy he put into that and what he was about. And, you know, I came to the realization it's time for me to shift gears into administration. But since then, obviously, I grew up in Boston. My wife's from Boston. We're around New England a bunch, so stayed connected on that front. And over the years, I've just leaned on him when I had to make big decisions. And
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we lost connection with Mark Jackson. Yeah. But
well, Mark, you know, we wish you the best of luck. I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch. I think that, you know, there, as David pointed out, there were some dark times there with Northwestern sports. But hopefully we're going to see just the best of it as we move forward.
Yeah, good deal. Good deal. I lost you there for a second, you guys. I'm sorry.
That's okay,
no
Mark.
Problem.
Thanks. Best of luck moving forward, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right, guys. Doors are always open to you. Whatever you need.
Appreciate it.
God bless you. I got to get some tickets to that football stadium.
I think you probably get in. You mean the new one or the temporary one?
The temporary one. Yeah. You can't get the new one. They'll be seating.
Well, there might be a few tickets limited. Available this weekend. I think they play Eastern Illinois. I don't know how tough a ticket
what
it will
time
be
is
to
that
see.
One?
Is it a night game?
I don't know. The Duke game snuck up on me. I wasn't ready.
Well,
for
that Friday. Was under the Friday night lights. That was the Big Ten trying to intrude on high school football, like the NFL
didn't like
did.
That.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that. I think the Big Ten can stick to Saturday and Thursday. And heck, you want to play on Tuesday night like Maction? Go ahead. Stay away from Friday nights.
You know, you can tell how sharp that guy is just chatting with him, and you know that he's been around really good people. Villanova is a really good place. You know, his professional resume is very impressive.
It is impressive.
Yes.
And I wasn't trying to be flippant or facetious or anything, but honest and sincere. Why would he want this job at this time? Because the Northwestern athletic director inherits a difficult challenge.
But I think
buried in litigation.
But you've moved beyond. You have
in a lot of ways,
yes,
Mully.
Yes.
But in a lot of ways, you're always going to be tethered to that scandal, because there's going to be some lawsuits that are going to be dealt with in a way that is going to interfere with the positive things going on around the school and the campus.
Isn't that kind of above the athletic director? You see what I'm saying? This is now the university president and
they've got to continue to make that clear.
Yes.
They've got to continue to message it that way and to compartmentalize in terms of the tasks at hand, because you've got a building project, you've got to run a department in a conference that has expanded now to 18 teams.
Incredible.
And you've got a new challenge of just navigating the NIL.
Traveling all over the world. The NIL, to me, that is the biggest problem slash, you know, we're going through kind of a wild, wild west period with NIL, transfer portal. It hasn't even been figured out yet how that will work, but people are kind of adapting on the fly.
They're adapting on the fly.
That is one of the reasons that Jay Wright left Villanova.
Because he did not want to deal with those headaches any longer. It's not regulated to the extent that it should be or will moving forward, and that's one of the challenges for guys like Mark Jackson and the Big Ten and Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, who had this job before. You're facing, you know, the great unknown. You just don't know what's next for college sports, the way it's changing. There's a new story today. The Pac-12 is welcoming new members now.
Four
Boise State and three other programs.
And a bunch of state schools, right? A bunch of the, like,
bunch of state
Fresno
schools.
State and San Diego State and some
the only constant of college sports is change. And to be able to adapt to that is requiring a lot of attention, a lot of commitment. And that's why I wondered, is this the right job and why?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. But, I mean, if you just go up there, as you well know, that's
the
right
job. It's a beautiful setting.
His 17-year-old son is absolutely correct. If you start getting excited about it. The other thing is, you're in the Big Ten.
You're in the Big Ten.
And, boy, that means a lot.
I love Evanston. You know, I love the campus. Yes, it's a great place. My son lives there still. And I think that I understood why he would take it.
Yes.
I still want people to articulate exactly what drew them to that challenge, because it's going to get, there's the obstacles, some of them still remain in place.